hotels. From the gold mining days to the present, hotels have played an important role in the life of the district. The early hotels provided some accommodation, but were also the main gathering and recreation places for the mainly male population of miners and farm workers. Early hotels were the Albert Hotel at Alberttown, and at Cadrona there were hotels with names such as the Empire, Golden Age, All Nations, Royal Mail, and Cadrona Creek. The Albion was opened in Luggett in 1865. Others were the Panama Hotel at the outlet of Lake Hawea, the Occidental and Hawea at Hawea Flat, and an hotel at Makarora. As activities changed and transport improved, many of these hotels fell out of use. In 1868, Theodore Russell built the Wanaka Hotel at Pembroke. This hotel was built with tourism in mind and was described as on a scale of magnificence not hitherto attempted on any of the goldfields. This hotel survived until 1922 when it burned down. It was rebuilt in quite a grand style, but this hotel too burnt down in 1958 to be replaced by a tourist corporation hotel which still occupies the site. Farming. As the gold ran out and the country grew, other ways of making a living were needed, and many turned to farming. The government took back land from some of the pastoral leases in the 1870s and 1880s and made this land available for farming, largely on the flats at Hawea and in the Wanaka area. The resulting closer settlement, together with some irrigation, enabled more intensive farming, mainly growing grain. The crops were wheat, which went to the mill at Luggett, which supplied the central Otago area with flour, barley for Spates and Dunedin, and oats for the horses. The Luggett mill still exists in the yard of a transport company. In the Makarora area, at the head of Lake Wanaka, with its wetter climate, there were extensive areas of flax, and these were exploited at an early date, with the first flax mill being set up in 1890. This activity was a mainstay of that community for many years. However, as the market for flax declined, the land was cleared, and pastoral farming, together with tourism, is now the main activity in the area. Rabbits became a major problem for both farmers and pastoralists. By the 1880s, rabbits were affecting farm output and they later overran large areas, threatening the viability of many properties. While many people were able to make a living from trapping and exporting rabbits, the longer-term effects of rabbits on farming were disastrous. Only the introduction of rabbit boards in 1949 and the devaluing of rabbits enabled control to be achieved. In 1934, the first Upper Clutha Agricultural and Pastoral Show was held in Wanaka. This has grown into one of the South Island's major shows and is an important event in Wanaka's calendar. Transport. For early travellers, mainly on foot, the lakes and rivers of the area were very significant, both assisting and hindering travel. Boats were extensively used to move people and goods around the lakes. In 1868, Alfred Pinn and George Hassing built the 40-ton sailing ship Eureka on Pigeon Island, now Mowahu, followed in 1874 by the Nun. Asher Smith built the paddle steamer Theodore in 1880, and in 1900, another steamship, the Makarora, was built on the shore of Lake Wanaka by William Allen. In 1909, the Makarora was wrecked near Stony Creek on the east side of Lake Wanaka. The Clutha River was too fast-flowing and turbulent to play any significant transport role, but was instead, like other rivers of the Upper Clutha, a major barrier to overland travel. The only ford on the Clutha between Lake Wanaka and the sea was at Alberttown, above the present Alberttown Bridge, and even this was not easy to use. Only being safe in winter when the flows were low, ferries were quickly put in place where travel routes crossed the river. and there were two ferries at Albertown, one above and one below the Harweah confluence, a ferry at Luggett and many others further down the river. These carried people and their animals and later wheeled vehicles, while these ferries, or punts as they were known, gave good service for many years. They caused delays and they were not always available due to adverse weather or floods. In spite of much public pressure, the first bridges across the Clutha in the Upper Clutha area were not built until the Luggett Red Bridge in 1915, followed by the Albertown Bridge in 1930. Until fairly recently, the Upper Clutha area has been a relatively isolated part of New Zealand, with poor access to the rest of New Zealand, making it difficult to get produce to market and deterring tourists and holidaymakers. The road from Pembroke over the Lindis Pass to Lake Pukaki was only formed just before the First World War, and the road up the west coast not opened until 1965. In the early days, the trip from Wanaka to Cromwell, which can now be done in not much more than 30 minutes, took half a day by coach. Schools. As families moved into the district, schooling became an issue. The provision of a school and teacher became a prime objective for many communities, and much effort went into raising funds and support. As the only transport for most was walking, schools had to be fairly close together. The first school in the Upper Clutha was at Albertown in 1868-69, followed by Cadrona, 1870, Pembroke, 1880, Harweah Flat, 1882, Tarras, 1885, Luggett, 1887, Queensbury, 1889, and Makarora, 1894. These schools were often the focus of their communities, both educationally and socially. Over time, population changes and improved transport have altered the need for some of these schools, but most remain, and they are today supplemented by the secondary school, Mount Aspiring College. Churches. Churches also played an important role in these isolated communities. Among the early churches were St. Patrick's Catholic Church, which opened in Harweah Flat in 1892, and in Pembroke, St. Columba's Anglican Church opened in 1902, and St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church opened in 1905. Tourism. Early tourism to the Upper Clutha was limited by access, compared with Queenstown, which enjoyed rail access to Kingston and then a steamer to Queenstown. Visiting Wanaka involved slow road trips, initially by coach and later by service car, over poor roads which were dusty when dry and quagmires when wet. There were no on services to the west coast or to the Mount Cook area. Early tourism ventures were Theodore Russell's first Wanaka Hotel of 1868, which was aimed at the tourist trade and could accommodate 30 people, and the steamer Theodore of 1883, which offered trips on the lake. Deer shooting and trout fishing were added to the attractions, but tourist numbers were never large. Wanaka's development as a tourist and holiday centre came about after the Second World War, with improved access, higher car ownership, and increasing numbers of New Zealanders looking for holiday homes. Since the late 1960s, skiing has developed and has added a winter activity to complement the summer holiday activities. The towns of Wanaka and Lake Harweah have grown as a result of these recent stimuli, and tourism is now one of the major attractions of the district. Recent influences. In more recent times, there have been a number of events which have had major impacts on the district. These include the damming and raising of Lake Harweah in 1958 to provide storage for the hydro schemes on the Clutha, the declaration of Mount Aspiring National Park in 1964, the opening of the road up the west coast in 1965, the development of the ski fields at Treble Cone and in the Cadrona, the opening of the Maze, later Puzzling World, in the 1970s, and the first Wanaka Air Show in 1988. Wanaka remained a quite small town until relatively recently, largely serving its surrounding farming community. In 1960, it had barely 400 residents, about the same as Cadrona had during the mining era some 100 years before. It's only in the last 20 to 30 years that the natural beauty of the area, the good climate, and the amenities that have developed in the area have been recognised as making the Upper Clutha such an attractive place to visit, to live, and to work. This recognition, together with the better roads that have given improved access, have resulted in the recent growth in the district, with the permanent population of Wanaka now being over 5,000 people.